Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today is a momentous day in the lives of six of our young members. In just a few minutes, in fact, they will stand before this altar. They will acknowledge the gifts that God gave them in their baptism. They will renounce the devil, confess their faith in the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They will confess the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church as they have learned to know it from the Small Catechism. And they will promise to live and to continue in this confession and church, even to the point of death. They will be confirmed as members of Our Savior Lutheran Church. They will receive a special text of Holy Scripture as a remembrance of their confirmation. And after the service, there will be smiles and laughter, hugs and kisses, lots of pictures, family members, friends, cake, gifts, and everything else that goes along with the culmination of 2 years' hard work and study. Yes, confirmation is truly an event worth celebrating today. And yet, despite all the great joy and ceremony that goes into this rite, it's not the greatest thing happening for these children today. Confirmation is, in the end, merely a custom of the church, a human tradition. A good tradition, but a tradition nonetheless. It is not a sacrament. It has no command from God, nor does it have a promise attached to it. Confirmation does not bestow forgiveness, life, or salvation. In fact, it doesn't bestow upon these kids anything that they didn't already possess. For they are already children of God. They are already members of the one holy Christian and apostolic church by virtue of their baptism. Again, to be sure, confirmation is a fine acknowledgement and celebration of their study and confession of faith, and we are right to celebrate with them. But it is not the greatest thing happening for them today. No, the greatest thing happening today for each of these six young Christians is what they will receive for the very first time. The sacrament of the altar. Jesus' true body, true blood, given and shed for them to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. This Holy Communion is no mere custom or human tradition. It is commanded by God, who said, "Take, eat, drink of it, all of you." And it carries his most blessed promise. He said, "It is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." These six young Christians have been instructed and examined in the true doctrine of the Christian faith as drawn from Holy Scriptures, as the Scripture commands us to do. And now, today, they will be admitted to this altar, the Lord's table, for the first time to receive in their hands and mouths the true body and the true blood of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that blessed gift that He Himself desires to give them. And by the grace of God, what they receive here this morning for the first time, they will receive again on Thursday, and next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and week after week, month after month, year after year, until the Lord Jesus finally, at His time, receives them into His heavenly marriage feast. This, the first reception of the Lord's Supper, is the most important and special thing happening today. Yes, even more than the happy event of their confirmation. Now, that might seem a little absurd. Confirmation is a once-in-a-lifetime event. Communion is, in Jesus' own words, often. On this one day of confirmation, there are vows and promises, gifts and pictures. And at the regular service of the sacrament, there's the same liturgy, the same words, the same eating and drinking, as always. Confirmation seems more special because it is rare. A common concern with the frequent communion is that it is less special. But remember that the special nature of the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, does not come from its frequency or uniqueness in the day-to-day life of the believer, or any added ceremony or festivity. What makes the sacrament special, indeed the most special thing happening today, is Jesus' word. He says that it is his body and blood, and that makes it special. He says that it is given and shed for you, and that makes it special. He says that it is for the forgiveness of your sins, and that makes it special. Special not just for those six blessed children of God, but for you too who receive it. In fact, we can say that receiving the Lord's Supper is the most important thing that will happen for you today also. Now on this Palm Sunday, as we celebrate those blessed occasions of confirmation and First Communion, I think there's a helpful parallel in the events of that first Holy Week 2,000 some years ago. Just consider the scene as it was described for us in John's Gospel on that first Palm Sunday long ago. Jesus began to ride into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and its colt, which the evangelists tell us was found exactly as Jesus had told his disciples. They brought these animals to Jesus, they laid on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. When the large crowd heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they cut down branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. Some threw their cloaks on the road before the Lord. Others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. The whole multitude of Jesus' disciples were rejoicing and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Those who went before him and those who followed him were crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna in the highest." All this took place just as the prophet Zechariah had foretold. He wrote, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was humble, yes, but it was also a royal entrance. Jesus entered Jerusalem as her king. In fact, the way Jesus rode into Jerusalem was very similar to the way that Solomon had entered Jerusalem when he was to be anointed king. 1 Kings chapter 1 says that Solomon rode on King David's mule to Gihon, and there Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. They blew the trumpet, and all the people said, "Long live King Solomon!" The people went up after him, playing on pipes, rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth was split by their noise. This is much like the way the people received Jesus on that first Palm Sunday. They also acclaimed Jesus with other royal actions. They laid their garments at the feet of the donkey, just like their forefathers had done centuries earlier when Jehu became the new king of Israel after the reign of wicked King Ahab. The people in Jesus' day cut down branches from trees and spread them on the road, just like their fathers had done just a couple centuries earlier when the Jewish priests Simon and Judas fought for independence from the Greeks. Jesus entered Jerusalem as a king, and the people praised him as their king. And yet, for all its pomp and celebration, Palm Sunday is not the pinnacle of Holy Week. It is not the most important event that took place during that week. For the large crowds that went before Jesus and that followed him would give way to the two robbers who were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The cloaks that were willingly laid by Jesus' disciples on the donkey and on the road would give way to Jesus' tunic, for which the soldiers would cast lots. The shouts of the crowd, "Hosanna, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," would be surpassed by the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing," and "It is finished." The donkey which bore Jesus on its back was surpassed by the Lamb of God, who bore the sins of the world in his body on the tree. The branches of palm trees were surpassed by the wood of the cross. You see, the most important thing that happened that first Holy Week, and not just then, but the most important event of all human history, was the humble suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Good Friday, not his triumphal entry on Palm Sunday. To the eye, what happened on that Friday afternoon long ago was not all that different from the thousands of crucifixions that had taken place throughout the Roman Empire. Crucifixions of convicted criminals put on public display by the governing authorities as a warning against all who would defy Caesar's authority. But in reality, known by faith and faith alone, there the very Son of God in love took upon himself his creature's sin. There he suffered his Father's righteous wrath in the place of those who rightly deserved it. There the innocent one died for the guilty. This event was not just once in a lifetime, no. It was, according to the book of Hebrews, once and for all. Once on the cross, Jesus Christ died for all sinners of all times and all places, for you. It is just as St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." It was not the glory and the triumph of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, but the foolishness, the weakness, the lowliness of his death on the cross that accomplished your salvation. By humbling himself to the point of death on a cross, Jesus Christ has redeemed you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil. Your everlasting salvation was accomplished by Jesus' death. Your forgiveness was won by Jesus' death. You have the hope of heaven when you die and the promise of the resurrection of your body on the last day because of Jesus' death. It's because of Jesus' death you have everlasting life. In our epistle lesson this morning, St. Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." This exhortation is not just for our six confirmands, but it's for all of us. The mind of Christ is to be humble before God's will, and to live in humble service toward others. Have this mind among yourselves means to think just as Jesus thought. He came in humility. He didn't bask in the adulation of the crowds on Palm Sunday, but he went forward to the shame of the cross on Good Friday. We, therefore, ought to likewise humble ourselves before God, seeking him not in the lofty places that we think he should be found according to our human reason and understanding, but rather finding him in the humble places where he himself has promised to be, in his word and in his sacrament. Day by day, week by week, we hear the same word of the gospel, we receive the same sacrament of Jesus' body and blood. But this sameness does not mean that it is unimportant, but rather that it is the highest good for your soul as a Christian. For by this same word and sacrament that you receive often, the Lord strengthens you to live every day as his beloved children in the fallen world, standing steadfast in the one true faith. And having been strengthened in faith toward God through that salutary gift, you are set forth to live in humility and love towards those whom God has placed in your lives, counting them as more significant than yourselves, looking not only to your own interests, but to the interests of others, loving as God has first loved you. Yes, it is good that we are here to celebrate the confirmation of these six young Christians today. The pictures, the cake, the gifts, all of this is good. It is a good and joyous day. But the sacrament of the altar that we will soon receive this morning is even greater. For under the humble forms of bread and wine, Jesus wills to give you his greatest treasures: forgiveness of your sins, life and salvation. Have this mind among yourselves, therefore, receiving and rejoicing the humble gifts of God, and living and serving in humble love toward your neighbor, day by day, week by week, until that great and final day when Christ comes again in glory and exalts you to that heavenly marriage feast of the Lamb eternally. In his name, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.